Today, I'm preaching on let's get serious about guarding our integrity. You know, I really think that integrity is something that everyone would like to have. But to truly be a person of integrity is to realize that it does not come naturally. Not at all. We're all sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. We have a sinful nature. And integrity or character is forged into one's life. It doesn't come naturally. As serious followers of the Lord Jesus, all of us together need to embrace the truth that our effectiveness to influence others towards Christ has everything to do with our integrity. At one time, cyclist Lance Armstrong was a champion as a cyclist. But eventually, the truth was exposed about his life. Let me share with you something from Forbes website, Lance Armstrong's integrity deficit. The price of surrendering self-respect for self-interest. Dr. Margie Worrell, contributor, shares this. None of us are immune to the same temptations that Armstrong succumbed to surrender self-respect for self-interest. But his downfall serves as a powerful reminder that without integrity, nothing works. Not for athletes, not for leaders, not for anyone. The discovery of Lance Armstrong's drug cheating was shocking for many people and devastating for some. When he finally confessed his sins to Oprah, it did little to shift how most people felt about him. When he admitted in his recent interview with the BBC that if he had the chance to do it over again, he'd still use dope. It has made many only hold him in higher, even higher contempt. Though admittedly, at least this time, he's telling the truth. Armstrong's dramatic and steep fall from the pinnacle of athletic glory hurt people, not just avid cyclists and those who respected him as an athlete, but people like myself who admired his sheer determination and courage. That it was not matched by equal amounts of character and integrity wounded us all. Armstrong deserves no sympathy, and it seems unlikely he'll get any, even after his latest BBC interview. And this would have been some time ago. Some of you may recall that situation. Listen carefully to what the wise writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. The Message, or a paraphrase, says it like this. The integrity of the honest keeps them on track. The deviousness of crooks brings them to ruin. Last Sunday, I mentioned Joseph. What a great example of integrity and character. With all that he went through before he became the second most powerful man in Egypt, he did not surrender his integrity. When Potiphar's wife just was all over him, her hands at least had hold of his coat. Joseph pulled away, left his coat with her, ran, and what was more important to Joseph than that coat was his character. There are some things you just give up for the sake of your character and integrity. Siri gives this definition of integrity: the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness. The second Siri definition I really like: the state of being whole and undivided. Does this kind of remind you of Elijah on Mount Carmel? It was he alone that was standing for the true God, and then others with Baal. You know the story. But you know, remember his words when he said, "How long halt you between two opinions? How long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, let him be God." Well, Joseph had already settled in his life who God was, who his God is. And, you know, a ship can lose its structural integrity when there is a breach in the hull and allows water to get into the ship. As long as the hull holds its structural integrity, the ship will not fail to float on the water. But when the water starts getting inside the ship, you know what happens, the ship begins to sink. Beloved, you know we're in the world. We are in the world. I think America has gone way past being a post-Christian country. We have become an anti-Christian nation. If we resolve to guard our integrity in the midst of such an environment that we find ourselves in, we'll not sink. It doesn't matter how bad things get. You might think, well, things are worse now than they were in Joseph's day. No, they're not. Some might think, well, things are worse for us than it was in Paul's day. Remember, Paul was under the reign of who? Nero. Nero was master of the world. He was also a nut. Nero would throw Christians to the lions. I mean, times were not good. It would be Nero himself who would actually execute Paul. Paul was decapitated at some point under the reign of Nero. Nero may have very well given the order, but I believe before Nero gave it, Paul would have stood before him, and I believe Paul gave him both shotgun barrels full of the gospel. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. And things are pretty good for us. You see, we still have religious freedom. Nobody's going to throw you in jail for sharing your testimony. You're not going to get thrown to the lions when you hand out a gospel tract. You're not going to be executed when you go to a church. But in this world in which we live, we need to guard our hearts. In this environment, we need to guard our hearts. I love the section of Proverbs chapter 4 that talks about guarding your heart, starting with verse 23. It says, guard your heart above all else. Now, what about the heart? The heart is deceitful. It's evil. It's wicked. So we have to guard it. Because really, out of the heart comes everything bad. Therefore, the heart also determines the actual course of our life. We're to avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from the corrupt speech. Don't get into little gossip circles. Look straight ahead. Fix your eyes on what lies before you. Job made a covenant with his eyes. He was careful how he looked upon a maid. Well, there is more access to things we shouldn't look at as men and women too than there's ever been. And you can do it in secret. I want to give you something that I hope you'll embrace this morning. Every time I do something that's displeasing to the Lord, I hurt Jesus. And beloved, I want to be honest with you. I do not want to hurt Jesus. I really don't. I do not want to hurt Jesus. I know every time I blow it, I hurt Jesus. And I hope you'll take that too as something you can play in your mind. The Bible says here, mark out a straight path for your feet. Stay on the safe path. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. Our feet takes us to places we should not go, to do things we shouldn't do. But our feet can take us to a Connect class and to a worship service. Our feet take us where we choose to go. So we don't need to get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. How can we do that? I love Psalm 119:11. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. You know, I think a great example of a person with tremendously strong integrity is Daniel. And of course, Joseph. I've already touched on him a little bit, but let me tell you something about Daniel and Joseph that they have in common. They're not perfect. They were sinners. Their parents were Adam and Eve too. But they lived such a holy life, such a life devoted to the Lord, not one sin is attributed to their life. Now that's amazing, guys. But God knew their hearts. We have a Bible that has been written by the finger of God, folks. And one of the evidences that the Bible is the Word of God is the fact that God is honest about all of His servants. If David, the king, were allowed to write his story, there's a section he'd leave out. Her name is Bathsheba. He'd leave that out. He'd leave out the bad decisions that he made, and all we'd have is the good of David. And boy, is there a lot of good about David? Yes, it is. But God didn't hide anything, because nothing can be hidden from the Lord. But all of this is written for our benefit. And Daniel is in the Bible. He has a book there. It's written for our benefit. And when he was a youth, he was a teenager, he was taken captive during the siege of Jerusalem in 605 BC. The king that was ruling at the time was Nebuchadnezzar. He had an incredible, influential, and successful career, having served in the administration of three kings: Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, and Darius. He also experienced the ministry of two angels. Now, wouldn't that be special? Those two angels were who? Gabriel and Michael. Daniel 9:23 says, "At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I've come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved." Daniel was greatly beloved. He was told that by the angel Gabriel. He indeed was special. But he was special because of the choices that he made and the disciplines of his life. Let me share with you some of the characteristics that complement Daniel to be such an uncompromising man of integrity. One, Daniel had an excellent spirit or attitude. Daniel 6:3 says, "Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm." What an attitude. What a spirit. Last Sunday I preached on attitude on a scale of 1 to 10, how would people around you rate your attitude, 10 being the highest. What and who you really are comes through in your relationships, in your job, in your reactions to challenges, and in your commitment to the Lord. Remember John Wooden? John Wooden was past coach of UCLA basketball. I know in the 60s, I think in the 70s, I think he was made coach of the century, that the 20th century being that century, a tremendous man of God. Anything that you can read about him, read it. There are books out about him. And Coach Wooden led UCLA basketball to 10 national championships. He said, "Be more concerned with your character than your reputation, because your character is what you really are, while reputation is merely what others think you are." Now, if you have a great attitude and you are favored by your superiors, that may open up a whole new can of worms, folks, because there's envy and jealousy that could kick in. If you are favored by the boss, and Daniel was favored by the king, then that's going to make others in that administration very jealous. And they may want to get rid of you. And they wanted to get rid of Daniel. That leads me to my second point. Daniel was faithful. Verse 4 of chapter 6, it says, "So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault, because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him." Listen carefully to the words of Proverbs 26 and 7. "Most men will proclaim each his own goodness." Have you ever been caught bragging on yourself? Proverbs also says, "Let another man praise you and not yourself." Be careful how you brag on yourself. Those are the kind of folks that most folks don't want to be around. "Most men will proclaim each his own goodness, but who can find a faithful man?" Verse 7 says, "The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him." We're empty nesters now, and our children have grown. Whatever we have been, whatever they were going to get from mom and dad, they got years ago. Now we still meet and we still have time together and everything. But the foundational things that our children got that really laid the foundation for their life has already been done. And if there's a lack of integrity, if you send wrong messages to your kids, don't be surprised that they walk away from God one day if you're not authentic and genuine in your walk with the Lord. The righteous man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Daniel got to work on time. He didn't bellyache. Daniel was courteous. He was trustworthy. He was loyal. There were no jealousies, no insecurities in his life that we know of. There was no gossip there. He put in a full day's work, and he was also doing it in the administration of three kings. He lived a long time. Also, there's no mention that Daniel was married or had any children. But verse 7 is applicable to all fathers. Your integrity will have a profound influence on your kids, and they will be blessed to learn how a person should live their life. And in a great way, Proverbs is a practical book in the Bible that teaches you how to live your life. I read a chapter every day. That's been my practice for many, many years. If you got the 7-year Bible reading guide and the prayer guide, this year is leap year. And Leslie puts that thing together. And Leslie, I don't think I've told you this, but I've never seen this before, but on February the 29th, she popped in Proverbs 29. And that gave you some Bible. Thank you for that. That's good thinking. That was not a day void of Bible reading. She wasn't going to let you off the hook to miss one day reading God's Word. Amen, Leslie. Guys, read a chapter of Proverbs every day. Proverbs will teach you how to conduct yourself in this fallen world in which we live. Third, Daniel lived a life of integrity. Daniel 6:4, the last part of that verse says, nor was there any error or fault found in him. The envious enemies wanted Daniel out of the way so they could advance. They may have even hired a few private eyes to observe his behavior at his home and in social gatherings. But they couldn't find anything. The only thing they found that they could play with was the devotion to his God. Folks, if you're going to be guilty of anything, be guilty of that. Be guilty of being a fully devoted follower of Christ. And if you're thrown in jail for that, give God the glory. And there'll be a reason you're in there, because there's certainly some other people in there that may very well need the gospel that you can give them. So there's good in everything. Anyway, he lived a life of flawless integrity. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. I want you to know that if you're going to be pure in your life, it doesn't come naturally. Comes with great focus. It comes with consciousness. It's forged. It's something you want to bring more glory to God. I understand that Billy Graham would not ride on an elevator alone with a woman. If that woman was alone and the elevator door slid open, and he was going up or down, whichever way, and there was just a woman there, he wouldn't get on. And you may think that ridiculous, but I admire that. I believe years ago when our former vice president under Trump, Pence, years ago, you may recall some press that hit Mike Pence. Because Mike Pence would not have a lunch with any woman but his wife. Remember? That blessed my heart. That man was devoted to his wife, and he wasn't going to take any chances. He wasn't going to give the devil any leverage in his life. My pastor, Dr. Falwell, years ago, I'm so blessed to have been able to observe his ministry and hear some of the rules of his life. By the way, the Bible is full of rules. I'm not talking legalism or anything like that. But rules are good. The Ten Commandments are rules, by the way. Now, we're not saved by the Ten Commandments, but the Ten Commandments shows us how great a sinner that we are. It's like a mirror. But Dr. Falwell would tell that if he saw a lady who was a member of his church standing on the sidewalk, something like this, and it's pouring down rain, he wouldn't pick her up in his car. And you might say, oh, that's cruel. Not if you want to maintain your integrity. Not if you want to maintain your integrity. I appreciate what some might consider extremities on behalf of Mike Pence and on behalf. How many of you ladies appreciate that kind of extremity? Would you lift your hand? You appreciate that. Amen. Because you see, we're men. We're men. We're motivated by sight. And you can't take enough precaution out there. Daniel was pure in his life on purpose. You know, there are some people who may appear to be honest and exhibit integrity in some areas, but fall short in other major areas. Charles Swindoll, in Growing Deep in the Christian Life, tells about a man who bought fried chicken dinners for himself and his date late one afternoon. The attendant at the fast food outlet, however, inadvertently gave him the proceeds from the day's business, a bucket of money, much of it cash, instead of fried chicken. They discovered a whole lot more than chicken, over $800. But he was unusual. He quickly put the money back in the bag. They got back into the car and drove all the way back. By then, the manager was frantic. Mr. Clean got out, walked in, and became an instant hero. I want you to know I came by to get a couple of chicken dinners and wound up with all this money here. Well, the manager was thrilled to death, to say the least. He said, let me call the newspaper. I'm going to have your picture put in the local paper. You're one of the most honest men I've ever heard of, to which the man quickly responded, oh, no. No, no, don't do that. Then he leaned closer and whispered, you see, the woman I'm with, she's somebody else's wife. So he really does not get any kudos, does he? But I want you to know that Daniel was the real deal. His integrity was flawless. Can you imagine how frustrated his enemies were? No error or fault was found in him. So they really had to be creative in their plan to destroy this man of God. So here's their plan. Here's the plan. It's found in Daniel 6, starting with verse 5. Then these men, these wicked, deceitful men, said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said, thus to him, King Darius, live forever. All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you. Now, what they're devising here now, their motive was to trap Daniel. Their motive was to get Daniel killed. They were going to make him king for a month. Now, Daniel is human, and he allowed his pride to get in the way of good judgment. And he succumbed to this deceitful petition on behalf of leaders in the kingdom, and then he was trapped. These wicked men appealed to his vanity, to his pride. Number 4. Regardless of his circumstances, Daniel would faithfully walk with God. Now, get the first phrase of Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, this didn't take him by surprise. It didn't rattle the cage of his life. It didn't change him concerning his commitment to the Lord. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he didn't mind advertising. This is what I do every day. I'm not ashamed of the Lord. He knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel knew that the writing was there. It did not detract him from his commitment to the Lord one little bit. No matter what, he would not allow the pattern of his life to change as he honored God every day. Here's a man that feared God more than man. And blessed is the man that fears God more than man. Oswald Chambers said, "The remarkable thing about fearing God is that when you fear God, you fear nothing else. Whereas if you do not fear God, you fear everything else. Remember Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Listen to me carefully now. Daniel was the man he was. Daniel was the giant of integrity that he was because he made time for God every day and was totally devoted to his regular practice of praying and giving thanks to God 3 times a day. Now, some of y'all might be thinking, "Well, Pastor, I'm so busy. I'm the head of this organization, or I'm the chairman of this, and I'm just run ragged." Nobody in this room is more busier than Daniel was. Remember, he was in leadership in the king's kingdom. And he was given orders. His time was pressed like probably nobody else's. But yet he would not let anything interfere with his relationship with the Lord. Chambers also said, when a Christian jealousy guards his secret life with God, his public life will take care of itself. What you are in public is what you're being made in private. If you have no private life with the Lord, your public life will just take over. The flesh will take over. One more thing before I close. Daniel's deliverance. You know how this ends. You're talking about being hung by the tongue. That's exactly where Darius found himself. He was not pleased with himself. But because of the law of the Medes and Persians, he had to follow through with throwing Daniel in the lion's den. That's where Daniel wound up. Darius could not deliver Daniel from that fate, but God could deliver him, and God did. But you know, do you think that Daniel was absolutely confident that he would not be supper for those lions? What I'm confident of is that Daniel was at peace doing what he knew God wanted him to do. So he was in the lion's den. Daniel may have slept all night in the midst of those lions. Here's these lions walking around and they're slobbering, they're starving, but God won't let them touch Daniel. But then there's Darius, and Darius is miserable. He is absolutely miserable. He's the one that's staying up all night because he knew that he has succumbed to a deception that has allowed a righteous man to get hurt. Of course, Daniel was delivered, and those deceivers, along with their children and their wives, were thrown into the lion's den, and the lions had their supper after all. We need to remember, try not to forget this. God does not always deliver us from trouble, but he can take care of us while we're in trouble. Yes, he can. No matter what circumstances you find your life in, God hasn't changed. The God of the mountaintop is the God of the valley, and he's not changed, and he can take just as good care of you as he took care of Daniel in the lion's den. The thing that we must be conscious of is maintaining the integrity of our life to be honoring the Lord with our lives. Euripides said, integrity is essential if we are to cope with life's difficulties.